At that time, the banks were having what they called a full-service bank. And instead of just being a bank and a savings institute and maybe handling a little something other than that or more than that, banks began to say, we're a full-service bank. You come here and you can take care of all your business. And something about that intrigued me, and I said, you know, that's what the Church of the Living God should be. It should be a place where we come, and it's not just where we come and sing with the choir. It's not just come where we sing to bring our money. It's not just a place to do this or that, or just to have maybe a youth group or an associate minister. But God wants a church to be an outreach center, literally an outreach center, reaching out for souls. And I remember I had a good relationship with two or three big Baptist churches here and there. They were fundamental Baptist churches. Boy, they were soul-winning people. And I'd go visit their conferences back years ago, and they began to share with me, and something of that got into my spirit. I said, you know, if we ever pastor our own church, we are going to be a soul-winning church. Amen. We always gave altar calls. That was not the problem. But I said, you know, we're going to be a soul-winning church. And, of course, we did. And the way we built our church on Berry Street was we got people saved. It was kind of the domino theory. You know, you get someone, a couple born again, and they've been rascals, and all their friends are rascals, and, you know, all these things. And then they go out and witness to their friends and bring them in. And then church, it's like the domino theory, and then it begins to grow. Praise the Lord. And that's the way we built. We started after 3 weeks with, I think, 16 on the first Sunday morning. And from that humble beginning, God has blessed this church over a 49-year period of time. The fourth chapter of John, I know it's Father's Day, but I want to talk to you about Jesus this morning. In the fourth chapter of John, the Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees, verse 1, that's chapter 4, verse 1, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though John himself baptized not, but his Jesus, I'll get it straight here in a minute, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he, Jesus, must needs go through Samaria. Now, the rest of the majority of the rest of this chapter is all about Jesus having to go a certain direction, meeting the woman at the well, and leading her to Christ, and things that happen. I don't know all these points are dynamic, but I mean they're not dynamically laid out. Let me just go through the fourth chapter of John's gospel. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And one thing that I don't think I've ever noticed, the sequence of events, coming out of John chapter 4 into chapter 5, now you start signs, wonders, and miracles. But chapter 4 is primarily soul winning. Jesus dealing with the woman at the well. Well, it was just one woman, yeah, but she went into the city and came back, and many believed on him. And you know, this is where so many charismatic and word and whatever you want to call it, we're waiting for the glory cloud. We're waiting for the manifest mighty, and I believe in all of that. We're waiting for a greater this or a greater that. What we need to do is see signs, wonders, and miracles. I agree with you. I'm all for that. But the fourth chapter of John's gospel, Jesus, after being filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the biggest happenings in his life was he must needs go through Samaria, and he came to a city, and he came to a well, and there was a woman at the well, and he began to deal with that woman and lead her to the Lord Jesus. Now, all the verses that concern that in John chapter 4, after chapter 4, now we start getting, in fact, even coming out of chapter 4, you start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. And Jesus heals an impotent man, and things begin to happen. A certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And that starts happening about verse 43. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, where we as full gospel people can shine, we not only believe in seeking the lost, but we believe Jesus can heal your body. We believe that God does answer prayer and that supernatural miracles come. But we see that soul winners are on a special diet. Did you know that? Everyone's on a diet of some kind today. When the disciples came back and they said, Jesus, we're so sorry for you. You haven't eaten anything. He said, I have meat to eat of that you know not. Soul winners are on a special diet. I have meat to eat of that you know not. Soul winners are empowered and led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know, they went forth, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. When you go in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit not only goes with you, but is there before you get there. Hallelujah. So soul winners are empowered and led by the Holy Spirit in their mission to reach souls. Soul winners are wise believers, because the word said, he that winneth souls is wise. Amen. It didn't say he that has degrees is wise, or he that has a certain training. He that winneth souls is wise. You're never wiser than when you first of all accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and then you lead someone else to the Lord. Soul winners thrive on a city of people. In verse 5, the city, praise God. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Soul winners thrive on a city. Why? Because people live in the city. Soul winners thrive on where the populace is. Go where the crowd is. Go where you can reach the most people. All of this, Jesus sets the example. Soul winners go out where the sinners are. And I remember my father-in-law, powerful man of God, and how blessed we were to work with Joy's father, precious man of God. And he was always coming up with something that would really try you in one way. One day he came out and he said, we're going soul winning. We said, oh, praise God. How do we do it? He said, you know all of these joints on 28th Street down here? Yeah. He said, here's the plan that God gave me. Now, my wife used to play a big old accordion, and she was good at it. Joy and Faith both played an accordion. They played an organ in church, and Faith played piano, and Joy played the organ. So we were blessed to have good musicians. But he said, what we're going to do, we're going to go. A group of us going to go to these joints, you know, these on 28th Street. And when we go in, we're going to ask the bartender, we have some musicians. Would you like some free music? Free. You mean it won't cost us? No, it won't cost us anything. And then you had someone assigned to go over and unplug the jukebox to make sure that your free music was heard. And then with an acoustic guitar, and then with an accordion, then they would sing an assortment of, you know, happy songs. And, you know, people, two or three beers. I mean, even Victor and Jesus sounds good, you know. Whoopee, you know. Yeah. And then it would get more serious about Jesus, do not pass me by. Songs of amazing grace and songs that touch the heart. And after a while, you've already got the majority of the people in the joint. Heads begin to drop on the table. Some people slip out the side door because they're with the wrong person. Honest. And then we would give the plan of salvation and leave the entire bar in a salvation prayer. Now, I thought, boy, this is just slick as grease lightning. It worked here, but it's not going to work all the way up 28th Street, because all the crazy places, a lot of crazy places still up there. But do you know, I can't think but one place that would not let us sing free music. And we'd do the same thing. You know, we'd start off with something lively, and everybody, you know, trying to keep time. There's about half lit, you know. And then lead them to Jesus. There's a way to lead people to Jesus. Go where the sinners are. Go where the sinners are. And boy, did I have to eat crow. I thought, that'll never work. We've never done that before. You know, there's a lot of things we haven't done before. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll get some of those things ahead of us. Praise God. Soul winners not only go out where the sinners are, but soul winners ask the right questions. Now, you'll notice soul winning, we ask questions. Did you know that Jesus has a wonderful plan for your life? Did you know that Jesus loves you? And I mean, there's other things, but the soul winner script really gives an intro to where if you kind of stutter a little bit or you don't feel like you can say all you need to say, then it's right there laid out for you. I think one of the most amazing things, if you told me this would work, I'd say, well, I don't know, maybe. I hope so, because I'm an optimist, I think. But you know, downtown, they had the soul winning script, and they were trying to talk to a Spanish woman, and she no comprehended English. But they also had a Spanish version of it, and so they gave it to the woman, and the woman read the track back to the folks that didn't know Spanish, and she accepted Jesus as her personal Savior. And then in broken English, she said, "Can I keep this track?" "Sure." So they go down three or four blocks, and they're winning people to Jesus, and they come back after a while. This woman has a crowd of people around her, that speak Spanish, and she's become an evangelist, and she's witnessing to people and leading them in a salvation prayer. I'm so glad I pastor a church like that. So, I mean, the roles were reversed. There's a way when you pray. Soul winners ask the right questions. You know, Jesus asked her questions. She asked Jesus questions. And soul winners love all souls. Well, you know, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. Let me tell you something, honey. A soul is a soul wherever you meet a soul. And if you want witness to a soul in Fort Worth, don't ask me for any money to go to Africa. Don't ask me for any money to go to Mexico. A soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. Red, yellow, black, white. Every nationality was nailed to the cross of Calvary. And so soul winners love all souls. Well, she couldn't figure out why this Jew was talking to a Samaritan woman. Well, Jesus explained it to her. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Soul winners offer the only pure water. Now she wants to talk about bottled water or well water. Well, let me tell you something that Jesus said. There's only one pure water in the whole wide world, and it's the waters of salvation. Praise God. They say there's some basic impurities in all bottled water. Well, I don't know. But he told her about the only pure water. And men's soul winners operate in the gifts of the Spirit. You say, oh, I want to operate in the gifts of the... Let me tell you the shortcut to operating in gifts of the Spirit. You don't get in a room and wait for the light, and everybody turns out their eyes and you hear a buzz or the floor moves or, you know, some strange deal. Get out and start telling people about Jesus, and I'll guarantee you the gifts of the Spirit will manifest. Because in the middle of it, she said, well, go get your husband. Well, no. You've lived with all these men, and the man you're living with now is not even your husband. Woo, I got a prophet on my hands. Now he's prophesying. When you do what you can do, then the rest of it will come. When you go as far as you know how to go, then the Holy Ghost will be there to take it all the way. It's amazing what God can do if you'll just do what you can do. Oh, this is good. You're so enthusiastic this morning. You know, soul winners refuse to be sidetracked by religious questions. All for years I'd start, you know, I thought I had to have a degree in Mormonism. I thought I had to have a degree in Jehovah's Witness. I thought I had to have a study course in this. You don't have to know all the doctrines of major religions. All you need to know is, I like what you're saying, but you know, I've got the smoking habit. Honey, We'll talk about that later. Don't bog down. Well, you know, every once in a while I pop a cork and I take a sip, you know, and sometimes I take more than a sip. You know, that's important, but we'll talk about that later. Well, you know, there's times that I don't do the right thing. Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. Keep talking Jesus. Keep talking salvation. Keep the main thing the main thing. Don't get sidetracked on some religious or secular issue. Because the main thing is that they know Jesus. Don't be sidetracked. Well, I'm a Baptist. Praise God for the Baptist. I'm a Methodist. Thank God for Sprinkle. Amen. Praise God. Well, I'm an Episcopalian. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I remember Brother Duplessy years ago that God used to go to the Vatican. But Brother Duplessy, you know how he'd win Catholics to Jesus? He'd say, you know, every good Catholic wants what Mary had. And do you know that Mary had faith in her son Jesus as her personal Savior? Do you know that Mary was in the upper room and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How many want everything that Mary had? You're not a good Catholic if you don't want everything that Mary had. I want everything that Mary had, right? Mother Mary. And then you lead them in exactly what the New Testament, what the Word of God, what the Gospels teach, and he would lead countless Catholics to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying there are saved Catholics and Catholics that are not saved. There are saved Baptists and Baptists that are not saved. There's saved Charismatics who claim to be Charismatics. And, you know, I've seen some things the last few months. There's some people I wonder if they've ever been born again. They're mean as a snake. You'll know them by their fruits. Folks, they know us by our fruits. So there we go. Soul winners represent Jesus. When you go out soul winning, you represent Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. You'll never act more like Jesus than when you go to win somebody to Jesus. You mean even than when healing is important? Signs, wonders. Please don't listen to me in balance today. I love all of it. I've been raised to love all of it. I love the whole full gospel. But you got to get somebody saved. Let's just say you got a terrible problem in your body and you're dying, but you get saved. So you go to heaven. So your problem in your body is taken care of. But if you die and you're not saved and you get healed in your body, you still got a problem. The most important problem in the world is to get your soul saved. And you say, well, it's my spirit. You understand what I'm saying? To get saved, to be born again, for Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Well, praise God. Getting something out of this? Amen. Faithful soul winners reap wholesale results. Oh, don't you like that? You know, the Bible later on in this fourth chapter, the Bible tells us, it said that many more, or here we are in the 39th verse, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. If you witness to one, you'll run into many. I said, if you witness to one, you'll run into many. And then down in verse 41, and many more believers because of his own word. That's in John's gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 39 and 41. Susan called me, was telling me last Sunday that she came back to the church and there was a motorcycle in the middle of Belknap, and a lot of the bikers down there at that bike place, they were gathered around, and obviously there had been some kind of a hit and run and so on. So the guy that was driving, after he sized up the situation, got revved up his engine and took off. Well, my daughter got in her car and followed him way over across town. It's amazing how that anointing transfers from father to children. I don't recommend that for you, but I mean, she said, I am tired of injustice. And so she got the camera, she got his license, she got the whole description. And so he turned himself in within an hour, so I guess something struck fire there. But Susan, she was not going to be, she said, I'm not going to let injustice be here, because all the bikers were busy trying to save their buddy there. And so the other night going home from church, I said, pull in here. Who was it, Tony or Robbie, one of the two? By the way, it's so good to be able to drive. Woo, glory to God. Felt like I've been in prison. But anyway, that's not my bag. Amen. If I'm tired, you can drive, but otherwise, I like to drive. But anyway, we were headed home, and I said, pull in there. He said, where? I said, it's that biker place. That biker place? Yeah. I said, pull in there. So we turned to Huey and came back, and he said, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go talk to the bikers. So you stay here in the car with Joy. And I got out of the car, and so this black, shiny Navigator sitting there right on the road. Man, those bikers' eyes got real big, you know, they were watching. And I walked up, and of course they had a, you know, had a cool one. And I just walked up and shook hands with them. And I said, I want to tell you one thing. We prayed for your buddy. We prayed for your buddy that was in the street. And I just wanted to come by and see how, if you know him. They didn't have a report at that point. But, you know, they said, well, we really appreciate that. See, there's a way to reach people. And I mean, some people, I wouldn't advise to do something like that unless you were led of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, there was not a, I've done stuff like that all my life. I'm not afraid when I know God's with me. I'm not afraid when, safest place in the world is to be in the will of God. And told them where the church, oh, that big church, yeah. I said, we'd sure love to have you. Maybe someone here today. And so, bless their hearts, you know, they all had a cool one, and, you know, they were all there. And I got to tell them I had a Harley, too, and I got a little more respect as time went by, you know. But what I'm saying is, you know, a soul is a soul where you meet a soul. And, you know, pride can wear coveralls just like it can wear a $800 suit. You know, or an expensive dress. Everybody needs Jesus. There's not one part of Dallas-Fort Worth or any other part of the United States that doesn't need Jesus. We all need Jesus. Praise God. But we reap wholesale results. Many more. Can you say many? Many more. Believed. All right, we're going to see the many more. The big waves come in. Oh, there's... Are you enjoying these points? Soul winners are out on the streets. They're on a mission just like Jesus. He must needs go through Samaria. God wants us to live on purpose. Not just wander around, we're here, we're there. But He must needs go. Soul winners know that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Yesterday we had a memorial service. Not even 50 years of age. But thank God Tina was ready to meet Jesus. Thank God she had made her peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed. You don't know. You say, I drive careful. Yeah, but the guy in the other car may not. My brother-in-law, 28 years of age, a drunk, hit him at the side of the road. Drunk as a skunk. Never served time or got in any trouble we were aware of. It's not how careful you may be. It's what someone else may do. And I'm not speaking out of faith, but life does have a certain measure of uncertainty. Some preachers die young. Some deacons die young. Some people just die younger than others. But soul winners know that we have no guarantee of tomorrow. This woman at the well may not be available tomorrow. She may not be alive next week. She may not be living next door to us next month. Do what you can while you can. Boy, I'll never forget the Wednesday night. Never forget the Wednesday night. Never forget that Wednesday night. That we get, was it three altar calls or four? Boy, you'd have thought Pastor lost it that night. It was kind of a slow Wednesday night. Brother Charlie gave an altar call. No one came. I said, Charlie, someone's here that needs Jesus. He gave another altar call. Nothing happened. So there was the message. After the message, gave another altar call. Was it three or four? At least three. And after the message, here we go again. There he goes again. There is church. Can't they get over this altar call thing? What if nobody comes? But what if somebody does come? And what if that somebody is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, that you've been fasting and praying that God would send a laborer for them to be born again? And from the back of the auditorium, a woman came down to the front area. It was Lisa's sister that she'd been praying for. Lisa didn't even know she was here. Something told her, go to that church where Lisa goes to church on a Wednesday night. No special speaker, no razzmatazz. And she comes down. And of course, Lisa just exploded when she saw her. And was it 8 weeks, 6 weeks? Was it that? 8 weeks. 8 days. Listen to me, church. Listen to me. 8 days. She got a Bible and she made like a 2 or 3 block radius around her home. And she had lived a rough life in many ways. She went around knocking doors with her Bible and said, let me tell you what Jesus has done for. See, that's what can happen on a Wednesday night when it seems like it's dead. Well, bless God, there were no rockets firing, no gifts or spirit. Oh yeah, honey, there's a lot going on here. Holy Ghost broke through here on a Wednesday night. If you'd been here, you might have said, well, I don't see anything. But you see, we don't see everything. We don't know everything. I don't know everything that's happening in this auditorium this morning, but I know God is here and you're here and the Holy Ghost is here, and we're hearing things that are, if we'll just receive them, that will explode. And so 8 days later, see, we didn't know that. Lisa didn't know that, but the Holy Ghost knew. 8 days later, she's in eternity. The memorial service is right here in this church. Oh, say not 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Don't say 4 months. Don't say 4 weeks. Don't say 4 days. Don't say 4 hours. You don't know and I don't know. Today is the day of salvation. No guarantee of tomorrow. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. They're white unto harvest. Soul winners are all on God's payroll. Now, put your faith on the line. The Bible said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. Get your faith on the line for finances on this one. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Did you know God compensates soul winners? Amen? Praise God. I'm almost through here. Such a deal. Listen to this. Others have sown. One waters, one plants, but God gives the increase. See, you say, well, why should I go out? I've never, wait a minute. God has worked this thing that someone else has already gone out and planted the seed. And God took care of the seed. Now the seed is coming. And all you have to do is just show up. All you have to do is show up. Just show up. You say, well, I'm not talented. You missed the point. Just show up. Just be there. Be on location. Just be there. It's amazing how salvation is a cinch deal when God opens the door. My, my. You know, the bigger wave is coming. Many more, many more, many more. Well, you know, we've designated this summer as a soul-winning summer. And he or she that winneth souls is wise, that says in Proverbs. We have a God-given life opportunity here in this church. I was watching television briefly, and I saw a longtime friend of ours. We haven't had contact in some time, but I saw Casey Treat, pastor up in Seattle, Washington. Casey and Wendy were in a rehab center. They'd been strung out on drugs. Their life would have been short-lived, but they were in a rehab. It was a Christian rehab. It was a rehab center. But in that rehab center, Jesus Christ set Casey and Wendy free from drugs. And now they've pastored one of the great churches in the United States of America up in Seattle, Washington. Oh, God is able. Some of you have seen Rob Thompson on television. Rob pastors a great church in Chicago. We've been to Israel with both of these ministries. Rob Thompson has an unusual testimony. He was insane. He said, they locked me up in the Looney Tune. That's the area where they never come out. They are so far mentally gone. He had blown his mind on drugs. He had blown his mind on alcohol and drugs. He was locked up in the Looney Tune. They said he had never lived and walked the streets again, a free man. But in the Looney Tune bin, the Holy Ghost came in. In the Looney Tune bin, the Holy Ghost came in. And Rob was supernaturally saved. And of course, Rob and Linda, God's used them in so many ways in different parts of the world. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, thank God I believe in a supernatural gospel. But a salvation is just as supernatural as somebody getting out of a wheelchair. Salvation is just as supernatural as a cancer patient with one day to live who is miraculous. It's all miraculous. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not putting one down. You can go to heaven with a sick body, but you won't get there with a sick body because you'll spend eternity with Jesus. But you can't reverse that. You've got to settle the main thing. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Hallelujah. He that winneth souls is wise. So the title of my message today is, why win the lost at any cost? Because every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth is going to hell except they are born again and Jesus comes into their life. No matter what the color of their skin, no matter what their level of education, no matter how important they are, no matter what Hollywood says about them, everybody on the face of the earth, if they don't know Jesus, you must be born again. What an example, the three men on the cross, in the center, the Son of the Living God. On the other side is Mr. Tough Guy. No religion for me. I'm going to die like a man. Yeah. Mocks Jesus. But there's a thief on the other side who didn't pray everything we lead you to pray in the sinner's prayer. But see, you know the prayer that God hears? The prayer of the heart. I mean, we give window dressing prayers. I mean, we lead them as far as we know how to lead them. All are sin, wages of sin is death, confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. But you see, Jesus knows the moment your heart says, I believe. Jesus reads heart prayers. And all these other prayers just lead us on the trail until we strike pay dirt. See what I mean? And one man looked over from the cross. He said, you're crazy, guy. We're all going into the same eternity. He said, remember me. Well, wait a minute. Say the rest of the prayer, Mr. Thief. He already has, because his heart said, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe in you, Jesus. We're all dying on the cross, but I see beyond the cross. And Jesus said, this day. And when you go out and lead people to Jesus, it could be this day that they'll go into eternity. It could be this day that you'll go into eternity. And so by saying that, I just reach out to each one of us here today. Church, we're on the verge. Well, not on the verge, we're here. We have the greatest opportunity, as great an opportunity of any church in the entire United States of America. We may not be the biggest church, but the internal know-how is here. People are here that know how to lead people to Jesus. And you know, I'll tell you how you could greatly profit. Just go out with somebody to win souls. You don't have to say a word. Just go out with a soul winner. Just get involved in some way, form, or fashion. And go tell somebody about Jesus. Because one of the main ways God wants all of us to build a New Testament church is to win people to Jesus. That's the sweetest thing we can do. Go out and tell, witness, win, and if at all possible, bring them in and let them know there's a house. Jesus loves sinners and we love sinners. And Amazing Grace said, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. So immediately after all this, these many verses in John 4, then Christ heals the impotent man, certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And then going into chapter 5, there's the pool of Bethesda. And a certain man was there with an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him and knew he had been there for a long time. And he said, will you be made whole? He said, I don't have a man. He said, I'm your man. You got a man now. Some of you ladies need to pray that prayer. I don't have a man. I'm telling you how the most important man in your life is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He be the man. Yeah, he's the man. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Aren't you glad you're in a soul-winning church? Aren't you glad that we give altar calls? Go out on the streets, the highways, the streets, the lanes, the hedges. Tell people about Jesus. Praise God. We used to sing a chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Love that soul to thee. May I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. I'm asking for the Spirit of God to touch us. I'll tell you how you reach people. Reach them at the point of their need. Oh, I've got this headache. Can I pray for you? If it's a bad enough headache, they'll let you pray for them. I've got a wayward son. My marriage is in trouble. I'm in financial trouble. Could I pray with you? After you pray about their need, then they'll let you pray about their need of Jesus. 9 times out of 10, they will. Father, we bow before you this morning. And I just want to thank you for the privilege of pastoring a church that cares about souls. Lord, please don't let this just be another message we preach or commentary on chapter 4 of John's gospel. But Father, may there be the soul winner's fire. We hear of forest fires. Let there be a soul fire in this room today. And it's not that we'll all hit the same server, the same waitress, but Lord, that we'll go out into our neighborhoods. Go next door. Have we ever gone next door? Have we ever talked to our neighbors? Oh God, stir us. Stir me. Stir this church. Lord, get our eyes off of what we like and what we don't like and who we're excited about and what we're discouraged about. People say, well, I don't get fed. I'll tell you how you get fed. You get out and win somebody to Jesus, and that word of God will just explode in your heart. My, 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 my. Besides that, folks, if you've been around here this long, you don't know how to feed yourself, you need to come to some of our classes and find out. God doesn't just call preachers to feed you. God wants you to feed yourself. Read your Bible. Spend some time in prayer. It's amazing how many people don't even read one chapter a day. Don't even read one chapter a day out of the Bible. Don't take 5, 10, 15 minutes to ask God's blessings on their day. God, I'm asking you that this church will explode in walking with God. Lord, help us to capture the zeal of Enoch who walked with God and he was not. Oh, Father. Oh, God, may we become fanatics in walking for God, walking with God. Lord, I just ask you to let this church every day be more what it should be, more what you want it to be. Lord, I thank you for the signs, wonders, and miracles that we've seen. But I just believe the greater harvest is yet to come. Hallelujah. I want to ask each one to listen to me real carefully. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But you'd say, I'd like to be part of a prayer, and I'm going to pray for the whole audience. I mean, pray a mass prayer. That this next week, God will let a witnessing situation. Now, if you're a soul winner, you're already ahead in what I'm praying about. But some really do have an honest fear, or they have an honest hesitation about talking to people about the Lord. I'm going to pray for you that there will be a situation that will be so set up, you know it's a God situation. It may be waiting in a doctor's office or a dentist office or in Walmart. It may be whatever, but there will be a situation where you're going to have a God opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus. And remember, all you have to know to lead somebody to Jesus, you can make fun of it if you want to. Some people make fun of the Roman road. Good night. That's led millions of people to Jesus. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number one. Number two, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. And then Romans 9:10. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, thou shalt be saved. If you know those three things, you can lead anyone, anywhere, anytime to Jesus. Now there's, praise God. I want to, would you just stand with me and let me pray for you? I want to just pray right now that God's going to set up a God situation. We're believing for a God setup. I know it's Father's Day, and usually I'll stick a little closer to points that would talk about a father. I've talked about my father, and thank God for the example of a godly father who was a blessing in my life. But I want to pray for everyone here today. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to follow the example of Jesus with the woman at the well, that we must needs go to Walmart, or we must needs go to the doctor's office, or we must needs go to some place or some location, maybe a restaurant, and there's going to be a God set up. It may be out walking in your neighborhood. It may be by going and knocking on a door. There's going to be a God set up that you can talk to someone. Did you know that God has a wonderful plan for your life? And we have scripts here. You can see these people that are going out to witness. It just helps you take a shortcut and cut to the chase. But listen to me. All you have to do is just talk to someone. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Would you like to know Him? If this were the last day of your life, do you know that you're ready for eternity? You say, well, I'm afraid I'll offend somebody. Oh, God, deliver us from fear. You don't go make a nut of yourself or make an idiot of yourself. There's a God way to witness. And God's going to, Father, I release the anointing of the Spirit of God. As many times as I've passed that biker's den down there, some people say, man, I wouldn't want to go to a place like that. Safest place in the world if that's where God said go. Go in the name of Jesus. Go expecting miracles. Go expecting breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. Now, would you just lift your hand and say, I receive that. My breakthrough's coming this week now. It may happen today. This week, I'm going to. You may not win them all, but you got a witness. Praise God. Did you learn anything out of God's word today?